God knows you and everything about you, and yet he still loves you. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
How many people you know hang out with you when you're not a benefit to them? God knows us. I know you. Don't fool. Try to fool me. I knew your daddy. I know you knew your grandfather. I know where you come from. I know you. And yet, although he knows us, he continues to call us his own. If you can get a hold of that, it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. I don't think we really fully understand it. If we did, we wouldn't doubt God's mercy and God's grace.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
If you want to get an idea of how our country came to be the most powerful and free country on earth, all you have to do is go back and read the exploits of our forefathers and the tremendous battles they fought and won. If you want to get an idea of the incredible love God has for his people, join us today on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman from Calvary Worship Center. Our study through the Psalms takes us to Psalm 103. David wrote this psalm as a tribute to God's loving kindness and his wonderful mercy. When we think of God, do we sometimes forget how merciful he is? Here's our teacher, Pastor Al Pittman.
There's a story I read today about a couple. They've been married for 15 years, and they began having more than usual disagreements. They wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip in a fault box. The boxes would provide a place to let the other know about daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, on and on until the end of the month. After dinner, at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done wrong. Then the wife opened her box and began reading. They were all the same. The message on each slip was, I love you, I love you, I love you. No fault. God finds no fault within us. And by the way, if we're going to see healing in our marriages, it starts with not finding fault, not by collecting irritations in a box till one day they explode. You know how that goes, in papers everywhere. You know? God loves us that way. Lord, I don't like the way you're doing that. And that person over there, here's my complaint box. Lord, if you just do something about that here in Jesus' name, fix it, you know. But when God hands you his box, it's always the same. I love you. I love you. I love you. His forgiveness is not without compassion. Verse 13 and 14 says he's like a father. He pities his children. He knows our frame. He understands what we're about. We may often be frustrated with others, ourselves, or with God or whatever, but God remembers our frame. He remembers literally our form. He remembers your DNA. God knows you better than you know yourself. We may have wondered about God's choice. Preached about that the other day, how sometimes we struggle with God's choice. We may wonder why God chose us or why God chose someone else. That's usually what we're usually wondering about. But the fact is, God doesn't have buyer's remorse when he forgives us. And I don't know if I should have forgiven that person. Now, the Bible does say that God relents. He's sorry. He's brokenhearted, in other words. But he never has buyer's remorse. If you come and ask him for forgiveness, he forgives you. He doesn't turn around and go, wait a minute. You know, he forgives us and he forgets it. He doesn't have buyer's remorse. He redeemed us. Thus, his grace is sufficient for us. He provides the right amount of grace for each one of us to fulfill his will and purpose for our lives. It says here that he knows, verse 14. Just dwell on that for a moment. He knows your frame. See, we often live in what I call an avatar existence. You know, those avatars, those you can go on the internet and create an avatar. That is a false image of yourself and make yourself look thinner or bigger or, you know, have blonde hair or whatever you want, you know. An avatar. And people, this is a big thing on the internet. And some of you may be aware of it, a lot of you may not, but people going to have relationships, they commit adultery on these little sites where they go in as an avatar. And it's weird. It's wacky. If you're doing it, stop. Amen. So anyway, but it's just strange stuff. But they create this avatar, and they relate more to the avatar than who they really are. And we live a lot of times in avatar relationship, an existence in the world, projecting a certain image to people that we want them to believe that we're successful and we know what we're doing. But God sees you as you really are. He knows your frame. He knows you. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. It says that he knows our frame. And he knows us in a sense. It's not the same, but in a sense, like you parents can relate to this. When he knows you in a sense as we as parents know our physical offspring. You know your kids. They have your DNA. And, you know, we always want them to grow up and be doctors and lawyers and very successful and wonderful people who never get in trouble. But their DNA doesn't match our hypothesis because we know where they came from. Amen. And yet we want them to somehow never mess up when we messed up. Amen. And sometimes we put that pressure on them like that. But we know sometimes, especially when they're little kids and they're trying to do stuff around the house, stuff that you used to do when you were a kid. And you go, I know what he's up to. I say, oh, gee, I did that. You know, and you see, you know them. Why? Because you know their DNA, because you know yourself. But it's even more so with God, even more so that God knows us even deeper than a parent that may know the child. The Hebrew word for knows is yada. Well, not yada yada, but, you know, but yada. To know, it means properly to ascertain by seeing and by observation. That means by observation, by care, by recognition, instruction, designation, and punishment, etc. When God is punishing you, whether you've done wrong or whatever, he knows you. He knows you in every aspect of your life. He understands, one commentator said, he understands our constitution, knowing. In other words, every crevice and every detail of your life. Wow. Now, this is what I want you to see. Who knows you that well and can still stand to be around you? Who knows? Come on now. I mean, your wife is putting up with you or whatever, but I mean, who knows you? I'm being silly, but who knows you that well? Every crevice, every thought, every wicked thought, every deed, every secret sin, who knows you that well and still wants to hang out with you? I mean, we got to keep up appearances for our friends, you know, because our friends like to hang out with us because we're a benefit to them. How many people you know hang out with you when you're not a benefit to them? God knows us. I know you. Try to fool me. I knew your daddy. I know you knew your grandfather. I know where you come from. I know you. And yet, although he knows us, he continues to call us his own. If you can get a hold of that, it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. I don't think we really fully understand it. If we did, we wouldn't doubt God's mercy and God's grace. And David, Lord, you know us. You know me. David knew that. He knows my frame. He knows my DNA. And he calls us his own. Why? It's because of his mercy, because he pities us. He has compassion on us. That's not, and when he says pity, it doesn't mean that God is like, boy, you're sorry. You know, he's not saying that. It means that he has compassion on you, as a father does on his child. And As a father, verse 13 says, pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Notice his forgiveness, motivated by his compassion, is toward those who fear the Lord, who revere the Lord, who reverence him. It's not toward those who want to use him. But those who fear him, those who reverence the Lord, he says, I pity them. I have compassion upon them. Even though I know everything about them, everywhere they've been, yet I still love them like a father loves his child. Verses 15 to 18, another thing about God's mercy. And that is that God's mercy is everlasting. As for man, his days are like grass. David says, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. In its place remembers it no more. Death has a way of reminding us of that. Someone you've grown up with, or if you have a parent that has passed, I remember thinking that my dad would always be with me. Dad, he's always this guy. He's always a presence that's always, and when they're gone, it's almost a shock to us. Even though we know that there's death, it just awakens us to the fact that, you know what, we're here, and one day we're gone, and our place is not remembered, is no more. We're here and then we're gone. We're like a flower in the field. Those glory days when you ran those touchdowns or played on the football team or something, and, you know, Al, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Well, they used to kind of say that, but I was just, you know, but, oh, yeah, glory day. Oh, yeah, I'm going to live forever. You know, when you're 18, you know, 17, 16, I'm going to live forever. Then you're gone. Passes away.
There's no guarantee for us that we'll be alone tomorrow. That's a fact we all need to consider. It's not fun to think about, but reality is reality. Pastor Al will have the second half of today's message for us in a few moments. Here at the midway point of today's broadcast, I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's a very big deal to us that you faithfully join us as part of our listening family, and I can tell you that Pastor Al really appreciates it. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And we would also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. I think you'll agree, sound Bible teaching is exactly what this world needs right now. Thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers. Now to wrap up our study in Psalm 103, here's Pastor Al, beginning in verse 17.
Verse 17. Mercy of the Lord. Aren't you glad about this? It's from everlasting to everlasting. On those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. Not those who study his commandments to have knowledge, but those who actually do them, because faith without works is dead. God's mercy is everlasting. And notice, even though we're fading, his mercy is everlasting. In other words, our frailty does not diminish God's mercy. Well, I can't do what I used to do. That's all right. God's mercy is still strong. You know. Our frailty, our fading away doesn't diminish his mercy. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, speaking of us fading away, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And how are we renewed? It's by God's mercy, which we receive, according to Lamentations chapter 3, every morning. His mercy renews us. His mercy enables us to carry on. His mercy is everlasting. And then verse 18 in Psalm 103 here, it says, basically speaks of our part He says that to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. As one commentator writes, he explains verse 18 this way. He says, to those who, notwithstanding many lapses and many shortcomings, you know, because we all have them, are yet sincere in heart and seek to do his will. Close quote. I like that. He's saying, you know what? This is not for those who keep his covenant and who never make a mistake. He's not saying that. But those who still have a sincere heart seeking after God, because David was a man who was very flawed. The same author of this psalm. He was a man who was flawed, but according to the prophet, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. How can someone so flawed be a man after God's own heart? Because your heart is right. Yeah, you may not be perfect in every way. But if your heart is sincere, you say, Lord, I desire to know you. I desire to seek you, Lord. Nothing else satisfies me but you. I'm still here, Lord. I've fallen down and had to get up a few times, but I'm still here. God says, I will indeed bless you. My mercies will never end for you. It will be everlasting to you because you fear me, because your heart seeks to do my will. In verses 19 to 22, David says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. And bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. The word for angels, you've probably caught your attention there, as he says in verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels. That word for angels also refers not only to the angelic host, but also to messengers, can be translated messengers, such as prophets or priests or teachers of the word of God. But I believe he's speaking here specifically because of verse 21. It appears that David is speaking of the angelic host in particular, as he says, bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. And I believe he's speaking of the angelic host in the New Testament. This angelic host is referred to as archangels, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and the book of Jude, verse 9. They are considered to be the highest of the glorious angelic beings that stand around the very throne of God, as we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 2 and 6, and then verse chapter 10, verse 1. These huge, these strong and magnificent beings that are ministers, that is literally servants of God, whom God dispatches to do his will. They heed the voice of God's word. They heed his commands to do God's good pleasure. In verse 22, he says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And this is an interesting, in particular, a comforting thought, because all the places of his dominion, that is every place that God has created. Every place that God has created. Therefore, there is no place whereby God does not have dominion. No place in which God does not have dominion. Literally, rule, that God does not rule. In other words, you can say God rules. Wherever you go, under the sea, in space, whatever, God has created all things, and therefore, he has dominion still, no matter wherever we go. Thus, Jesus rules over everything in our lives. Jesus rules over all my physical, my spiritual, my economical, and social circumstances. Because everything that we see around has been created by God. Whether men have taken it and turned it into sheetrock or steel or whatever, all of it comes from the earth, everything the Lord has created. And so God has dominion over every single thing. So everything concerning my life, God has dominion. God is ruler over everything in my life. And it should bring us comfort to know that. He has dominion over every aspect of my living. And John reminds us in John chapter 1, verse 3, that all things were made through him. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Amen. And so everything was made by the Lord. So the Lord has dominion over all things. Therefore, I need not fear. I can bless the Lord wherever I am, whatever I'm going through. I can bless his name because he has dominion wherever you are tonight. I can bless him, trust in his mercy to always deliver me. A familiar verse in a couple of verses, but I won't quote the whole thing, but Isaiah chapter 54, verses 16 and 17. Talks about the fact that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And a lot of us know that verse. Oh, no weapon formed against me will prosper. In context, you read verse 16. He's saying God created the blacksmith who makes the steel, and God created the steel, and therefore God's in control of all that. He has dominion over the iron ore or whatever that the man is using to make the weapon to strike you with, and God, therefore, has dominion over all things. And therefore, no weapon formed against you because he has dominion over every element, every molecule, every atom. Whatever the enemy therefore brings against you will not prosper against you because God has dominion over everything. Even your enemies, he has created them. The very weapon, the instrument they're trying to use to destroy you, God has created that also. So he has dominion. Therefore, I'm trying to get you to see that we can praise him and worship him and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, I want to bless the Lord, but things is tough right now. I know I want to bless the Lord, but I can't. I want to bless the Lord, but I've just got a diagnosis of cancer. I want to bless the Lord, but this is happening. I want to bless the Lord, but I just lost my job. I want to bless the Lord. It doesn't matter. He has dominion over all. We can say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, because my God has dominion in all things. And so therefore, whatever weapon has been formed against us, you know, God has dominion over that. We don't have to walk in the fear of man because God has made everything. Therefore, he has dominion. Because of God's dominion over my life through faith in Christ, his mercy, David is saying, covers my weaknesses. It covers my sins. It even covers situations where my enemies are trying to come against me. Therefore, I will always bless his holy name. So bless the Lord. Bless the Lord tonight, oh my soul, and all that is within me. David declares that here in Psalm 103, and you should declare it tonight.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Psalms with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. And I would like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center, either at our Creekside or Westside campus. Keep in mind that we're limiting the number of seats in compliance with social distancing directives. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in the challenging book of Psalms. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.